you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you know, Pastor Bob a few minutes ago was talking about the Bible school, and I really do appreciate Calvary Bible School, and I think it's worth the extra effort to go and sit in the classes and learn how to walk by faith, how to live by faith, how to hear the voice of God, how to have the mind of Christ, because there's so many different issues that are taught in Bible school that you can't teach in a worship service. You have two worship services a week, and there's some preaching and exhortation and teaching, but the Bible college, the Bible school gives you an opportunity to sit there and dissect the Word of God and learn how to study the Word of God, where many times in the service, of the two services a week, you hear the Word and you're encouraged, but in the Bible school, you're able to get much more depth. And so I really encourage you, if you're not or you're thinking about it, go ahead and do it. Don't think about it any longer. Go ahead and get enrolled in Bible school. Well, amen. Did anybody get blessed here this past Sunday when you heard those numbers? Wow. 1,000 people. I mean, my brain is still just, my brain is just going 100 miles an hour thinking about 1,000 people. Whether they, you know, even if they hadn't have accepted, they got witness to. Yeah. Well, thank you for shouting me down there. Now, I want to say that again. Even if they hadn't prayed the prayer of faith, prayed the prayer of salvation, 1,000 people got witness to. See, that's really important that you understand what happened here Saturday, that 1,000 people got witness to. You said you already said that twice. I'll say it two more times if I want to. Now, that seed being sown. And the Bible said, whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. So if you're sowing good seed, you're going to reap good things. If you're sowing good news, you're going to get good news. So I want to encourage you. I don't know who the 119 that went out? 119 that went out. I want to encourage you to just believe God as you go out and you witness and bring good news. You've got good news on the way to you. Good news is on its way to you one way or the other. It's coming. Do you believe that? Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Well, I'll tell you, I got blessed here last Wednesday night, and I just want to encourage you to keep on doing what you're doing, because I believe the more you do good, the more good is going to come to you. I mean, it's a law. Is that right? So tonight, I think I'll just talk a little bit about keep pressing forward. Keep pressing forward. You know, you can't go backwards and forward at the same time, can you? And, you know, I don't like to back up in my car very often. You know, in my car, I got one of those cameras, too, you know, that you can see when you're backing up, or you can turn around and look either way. But either way, even though I got a camera and I can look back, I just don't like to back up. I like to go forward. And you know, I'm just uncomfortable anytime I'm backing up. But when I'm backing up, I just do the best I can to go the smallest place I can backing up. And finally, so I can get that thing in the forward gear, because I want to go forward. I don't want to go backwards. And too many times we've let the devil take us backwards instead of going forward. And so let me just encourage you here tonight to not look back. You know, I think about Peter. You know, we all get overwhelmed at time with situations that come in our life. And when we get overwhelmed, what we have to realize, Jesus is always near. Jesus is always near anytime you get overwhelmed with any kind of situation that's around you. Instead of allowing that thing to take you over, just start looking to Jesus. You know, Peter saw Jesus and he said, Jesus, is that you? And Jesus said, well, of course, Peter, that's me. And he said, well, if it's really you, tell me to come. Well, Peter believed in Jesus enough that he stepped out of the boat. And when he stepped out in of the boat, he started doing something that was humanly impossible. What was Peter doing that was humanly impossible? He was walking on the water. And that is humanly impossible, to walk on water. The laws of gravity just does not permit that. So therefore, Peter, for a moment's time, was defying gravity. He was walking in faith on the word that Jesus spoke. Peter was acting on what Jesus said, and he was walking on the water. He really wasn't walking on the water. That's what I'm saying. That's what the Bible says. But it was really walking on faith. He wasn't walking on the water. And so what you have to realize, when you start seeing God do the things that's humanly impossible, you're not doing that, but you're doing it by faith. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So when you and I are activating and walking in our faith, we're pleasing God. Philemon 6 says that your faith becomes effective when you acknowledge the good things that's on the inside of you. So if you want to have effective faith every day, you need to acknowledge the goodness of God that's on the inside of you. So you can't be talking about problems and acknowledging the good things that's on the inside of you. You can't be complaining and talking about the good things that's on the inside of you. You can't be gossiping and talking about the good things that's on the inside of you. You can't be offended and talking about the good goodness that's on the inside of you. You can't be weary and talking about the goodness that's on the inside of you. So today, make up your mind that I'm going to talk about the goodness of God, and my faith is going to become effective in everything I do because I'm acknowledging the goodness of God that's on the inside of me. I'm trying to be calm tonight and not climb on benches. Do you know what I was thinking about today? I got thinking about Calvary, and I hadn't had the numbers yet. Yes, I did. Pastor Bob told me last night when he called. And I was thinking about that 1,000 people that came to the Lord and prayed that sinner's prayer. And when I did, I started thinking about Nehemiah. You know, I love the book of Nehemiah. I just love to read the book of Nehemiah because there's so much in the book of Nehemiah when I read that book. And when I read about Nehemiah getting the news about Jerusalem and how the gates had been burned and the walls had been broken and the city was lying desolate for the enemy to come in and to steal and to kill, well, when Nehemiah heard about his homeland, instead of him just going to the closet to pray and say, oh Lord, send a laborer to Jerusalem. Send somebody there to help our people. Nehemiah didn't pray that way. It hit him hard. And he began to pray to God that God would help him to find favor with the king. Nehemiah wasn't an apostle. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't an evangelist. He wasn't a pastor. He wasn't a teacher. But he was the man that protected and tasted and took care of the king's wine. He was the wine taster, the cupbearer for the wine for the king, to make sure that the wine was just the way it was supposed to be for the king. So he wasn't some big prophet that was prophesying, but he was a man in the kingdom that was protecting the king from any kind of a wrong thing to get into his mouth. Well, when he heard the news, he began to pray and he began to ask God for favor. And so one day he was standing in front of the king, and when he was standing in front of the king says, Nehemiah, you're not yourself today. Something's different. And I know you're not sick. You're not sick. You're healthy. You're strong. What is it? And he began to tell him the story of how that Jerusalem needed his help. The world needs your help. The world needs you. See, too often we are here praying and asking God what God can do for us. And it's okay. Now, don't misunderstand me. It's okay, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit, of how we get our needs met. And it's okay for us to get our needs met. It's okay for us to ask and to pray for our needs to be met. But you see, most Christians, when they hear the message of faith, they become selfish about all they can get through the Word of God, rather than actually asking God to make you strong in faith to go give somebody else something that they need. Is there anybody here in the house tonight? And so Nehemiah began to pray that he would find favor. And when the king, when he did, he standing there, he said, he began to tell him about Jerusalem. And the way he began to tell it, I mean, there was a fire in his eye. There was something inside of him that got the king's attention. He thought, well, man, this Nehemiah, man, I've never seen him like this. There's something going on inside of him. See, this is what the world needs to see in us, not that we are gloating about only what we've got and how rich we are. It's okay to be rich. Now, I'm not even against that or anything like that. But too many times we want to flaunt what we have rather than to be a light in darkness. God wants us to be a light in darkness. Is anybody in the house tonight? Everybody say, I'm a light in darkness. Well, you see, that's what Nehemiah was. Darkness had come to Jerusalem, and when he heard about it, he had been lit. And so God moved and gave him favor with the king. And when God gave him favor with the king, we know the story of how he went. And he began to look over Jerusalem and to begin to see. He went up in the trash pile areas and see what he could use, and begin to pull people together, and decided he was going to build the walls or rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And he was going to put the gates back where there would be protection once again. Well, you see, where are the Nehemiahs in Calvary tonight? How many Nehemiahs do we have in Calvary tonight? You say, well, Pastor Don, I'm just not that strong. I'm just not that bold. I'm just not that courageous. Well, you know what? Everybody, I'm getting ahead of myself in my message again, but I might as well go ahead. If I repeat it, I'll repeat it. That's okay. But you know what? Nehemiah got everybody involved in rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem. And the ones that were not working were holding the weapons while the other ones worked. So you may not be the one that goes into the highways and the hedges, but you can be one of the ones that can stand on the sidelines, and you can do your part so that we can get this world won to Jesus. And then Jesus, the Father, can look down at the Son and say, it's time, it's time, it's time, it's time, it's time. Go get my children and bring them home. See, it wasn't an easy task for Nehemiah once he left and started the process of building the walls back around Jerusalem. You know, probably everybody in Fort Worth is not excited about what Pastor Bob's doing here at Calvary Cathedral. You know, probably everybody is not shouting the victory like some of you are doing when Charlie gives the number and you're standing up yelling and screaming. Some people are not probably doing that. But you know what? That's the same way it was with Nehemiah when Nehemiah went in to build the walls around, and he got the people all energized and he got them ready to start working on the wall. Sanballat began to get all upset and bothered because something good was happening to Jerusalem. Something good was happening to Jerusalem. The people begin to get their self-respect back. They begin to get their self image back of who they were, God's chosen people. And they begin to see there's hope for us. There is a way. Well, you see, that's what's happening right now. I was not going to talk about all of this tonight. I was going to talk about something different. But you know, y'all just draw me right into this when I get over here. I just get drawn right into this when I get over here and get to preaching, because my notes go the other way. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost just goes this way. You know, you can get overwhelmed with all kinds of problems around you, and you can get defeated and you can get discouraged. But one of the things that I found out, if I'm always encouraging someone else, if I'm always helping someone else, I can't get discouraged myself. You know, Peter, when he was walking on the water, all at once, when he was walking on the word, come. That's what Peter was doing. He was walking on the word, come. And all at once, he started looking at where he was. He was no longer in the boat. And he saw the waves coming instead of focusing on what Jesus said. And when that happened, he began to sink. But you know what? When he was sinking, he cried out to Jesus, and he still didn't sink. See, there's always hope. There's always hope. Everybody say, there's always hope. Well, Nehemiah knew that it wouldn't be an easy task, but he decided that he was going to do what God had called him to do, and he was going to be a light in darkness, and he was going to build the wall safely again around Jerusalem. Well, I want to tell you something here tonight. God's placed five ministries in the body of Christ: the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Now, what did he place those in the church for? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 talks about those five ministry gifts. And those five ministry gifts are given to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. The Bible say? That the five ministry gifts are given to equip the body, the members of the body, to do the work of the ministry. Now, I don't want to in any way downgrade our place in the kingdom of God of having our needs met. And I love Mark 11 and 24. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. I love that scripture, and it's true. But you see, what are the desires of our heart? See, what are the desires of our heart? Are the desires of our heart only for a new car, only for a new home, only for new clothes, only for better food, on and on and on? None of those are wrong. All of those is good, and we should have all of those. But see, I think where many of the faith people have put their emphasis on, and I said this a moment ago, I'll just say it a little bit different, is what will you give me, God? If I'll serve you, what will you give me? What will you give me if I'll serve you? Well, God will give you more than you could ever ask if you'll really serve him. Amen? I know that's the way it is with my children. I've got three precious children and one in heaven. And, you know, and I got grandchildren. I got one great-grandchild now. And, you know, I can do more in my power for what I have for my children than they would ever ask me because I love them. See, that's the way God is. When you serve him, when you obey him, when you do his will. So God placed these ministries in the church to equip us, to get us established, to get us on the rock. Upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not come or stand or take us off. You're the children of God that are to be built upon the rock. Bible said when the wise man built his house on the sand, when the rains came, when the winds came, when the floods came, that man's house did not fall because he was built on the rock. He wasn't built on the sand. Calvary, are you built on the rock? Are you built on the rock? When the winds come, when the rains come, when the storms come, what do you do? Do you complain or do you start giving glory to God? See, the word complain means to find fault. So when you're complaining about something, you're finding fault. See, come in the house of God. And when we come in the house of God or leave the house of God, whatever we do, let's not find something to complain about. Let's find something to give good thanks to God for. Amen. Are you here tonight? You know, I heard Dwight Thompson say something one time. He said, hell trembles at the thought that money, power, and influence is controlled by the godly. He said, hell trembles at the thought. Listen at this now. That money, power, or he said, money, power, and influence is controlled by the godly. Well, when I heard him say that, I don't know, I heard him say it several years ago, and I just kind of stored that, and I began to think about it. And I have my own way of saying that, and my own terminology of it, but I say it like this. Hell trembles at the thought when a man or a woman knows he is the righteousness of God. Hell trembles at the thought when you know that you're the righteousness of God. When you know that you're the righteousness of God and you're on that rock, upon this rock, when you're on that rock, Satan doesn't like it when you get up in the morning. He starts saying, oh no, they're up again. They're up again. They're up again. Somebody say amen. See, when he knows, he trembles at the believer who knows who they are in Christ, and when they know, they can walk in faith. He trembles when you're walking in faith. When you're walking in faith, you don't have the spirit of fear, but you have power, love, and a sound mind. I'm going to say it again. When you're walking in faith, when you're walking on the word, what Peter walked on Jesus' word. He walked on that word, come. Well, when you're walking on the word, you're walking in faith. And when you're walking in faith, you don't have the spirit of fear, but you have power, love, and a sound mind. And when bad news comes to you, you look at bad news and say, you know what? That may be what is, but I'm not going to let it happen in me. You know, I repeat this saying often because I never know when someone will pick it up and really live by it. But if you don't let happen in you what happens to you, that's how you continue to walk in faith. Too many times we let happen in us the things that happens to us. You say, well, how do you differentiate that? Because the Word of God is alive, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and the Word of God will repel evil. The Word of God will repel sickness. The Word of God will repel disease. The Word of God will repel poverty. Now, Let me get to my scripture tonight. I think it'd be a good idea, don't you? I don't think I ever got to one last Wednesday. I quoted a lot, but I never got to take one as a text. But I love this scripture. It says, so we built the wall. Well, I'll tell you where it is. Nehemiah 4 and 6. Everybody say Nehemiah 4 and 6. So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Now they finished the wall in a record amount of days. I mean, it was a record amount of days. And I believe here at Calvary Cathedral, I really believe that the momentum is picking up in the spirit. Now, I want to say it again, in the spirit. The momentum is picking up in the spirit. See, I believe some of you are really beginning to grasp, you know what, if we will really be interested in the lost, could I use another term sometimes, the outcast? See, many times people in the church, well, they're the outcast. It doesn't matter who they are. Charlie was saying here a few minutes ago, it doesn't matter what you did, who you are. If you call on him, you'll be saved. Well, the Bible said they had a mind to work. That word mind, if you go and look it up, it actually means they had a heart to work. They had the courage to work. So you and I, when we walk in faith, are not only believing for our needs to be met, but we're doing something to change our world. What are you doing to change your world? What are you doing to change the world around you? See, when you walk into the workplace, you're to be a light in darkness. Everybody at the workplace may not be sinners, and I don't want to imply that. But today there are many people in the world that are in darkness, and they need the light of God to shine on them. You know, I was thinking of the scripture today about, how shall they hear except they be sent? Or how shall they hear? How shall they go unless they got a preacher? Well, you know what? You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Yes, you are. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that you shall receive power. Everybody say power.
Power.
Say power.
Power.
Say power.
Power.
Think about it. Power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Now, the power that God gives you is not just to receive good things. The power is for you to do good things. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power and with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. See, I like to think about that every one of us are in the army. In the Navy, or in the Marines, or in the Air Force. You know, when a person signs up in one of the one of those places and joins, they don't go sit down. What do they do? The first thing they do, it doesn't matter what job they're going to do in the military, they go through boot camp. And then people come to church and say, I didn't know it was going to be like this. I thought if I got saved, everything is just going to be goody, goody, goody. Well, when you join the Army, you don't go sit down. When you join the Navy, you don't go sit down. When you go join the Marines, you don't go sit down. When you join the Air Force, you don't go sit down. You go to work. I mean, you get put in boot camp, and when you're in boot camp, and if you've been rebellious, you don't stay rebellious long. What are they training you for? They're training you for a mission. They're training you what to do. When you come to the house of God, you get the Word of God. And when you get the Word of God, you're learning the Word of God, how to walk by faith, how to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, how to stand up for the kingdom of God and get people blessed, healed, and delivered. You know, when I was learning to fly a multi-engine airplane, Laura, you've been through the multi-engine training. And you know, multi-engine, some people think, well, it's got another engine on it, it's okay. Well, it's okay if the pilot knows what they're doing. If the pilot loses an engine and they didn't get properly trained or get nervous or get fearful, that if the airplane, if it gets to a place called VMC, which is velocity minimum control, if it gets to a certain speed, what happens is that one engine will turn that airplane upside down. So a good pilot, if he loses an engine, knows what to do to keep the airplane flying on one engine. So just because you lose an engine doesn't mean the airplane's safe. It's up to the pilot to make that engine, make that plane perform. Well, you see, that's what Satan's always trying to do to you. He's trying to get you on one engine, get you fearful. I remember flying one time and coming in for a landing and couldn't see the runway because ice froze over on my windshield. And when I couldn't see the runway, I had to go around. So it was no problem. I just contacted the tower and I was going around. So I was on an instrument approach because it was real cold weather and yucky weather. On the second time going around, I got down close to the 200 feet area there to whether I was going to make the decision to try to land or go around. And when I did, the ice was still on my windshield again and I couldn't see, so I decided to go around again. Well, this time when I was going around, I lost an engine. I couldn't turn around to the people in the airplane and say, what do I do now? I had been trained for that very moment. Now, you hear the word here week in and week out, and every time the enemy comes against you, you've been trained for that very moment. No matter what it is that comes to you, whether it's a loved one that walks out on you, whether it's a job failure, a business failure, no matter what it is that comes against you, you've been trained by the word of God for you to acknowledge the good things that's on the inside of you. That's what Nehemiah knew before he went to build the walls around Jerusalem. He knew that nothing could faze him. He had to be focused on performing and doing the work that God had called him to do when he went back. He had to have the heart for it. God is saying to you, I put my love, I put my word on the inside of you. God's given this man a vision to take this city for God. To take this city for God. To take this city for God. God. I want to aid him. I want to hold his hands up. You know, when Moses was in a place, you know, and the fight was on, and his hands got weary, they began to lose the battle. But Aaron and Hur went up and held up his hands. Will you be the Aaron? Will you be the Hur? Will you be the Nehemiah and say, this is the hour that God has called me to Calvary? Well, I didn't sign up to win them souls. Nobody says you got to be the one that's always going into the highways and the hedges, but will you hold up the hands of that one that God has placed here so that the gospel of the kingdom can be preached and this city can be won to the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Well, you know, when I lost my engine, I didn't get fearful. I didn't get afraid. I didn't even try to talk on the radio. I didn't tell the tower what happened. I didn't ask for permission for anything. I was trying to fly the airplane. I stayed focused on flying the airplane. See, too many times we lose our focus in what God wants us to do. And Pastor Bob, I really appreciate the fact that God has given you this mission to be a soul winner and to raise up soul winners to go into the highways and the hedges. I really appreciate that. You know, some people say, well, I'm just not into that. Help me, help me. If you're not into winning the lost for Jesus. No, it's about me. It's been about us long enough. What about me? It's been what about me too long now. It's what about that lost people that needs to hear the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can do it. You can do it. Somebody said, well, no, I got all these. See, I'm talking about things. I got all these problems. I got all these trials. I got these hard things. I just can't go do that. Well, that's what exactly you need to do. What if I'd have said up there, I just can't fly this airplane. I just can't do this. What if I'd have said, I just can't do this. I've been trained to do that. I've never had that exact moment before. And I'm not saying that we all want those moments of hard times or disappointments. Of course we don't. But you know what? You got the Word of God, and it never changes. God never changes. Look what the Lord hath done. You blessed my socks off tonight, Johnny. Woo! I hadn't heard that in a long time. Look what the Lord hath done. Look what the Lord hath done. Why don't everybody begin to start thinking about what the Lord hath done? What the Lord hath done.
Whew. Oh, hallelujah.
Well, you know, I got the airplane straightened out and was flying. Then I contacted the approach control or the tower and talked to them a bit. And they started giving me vectors to come back around. And when I got my plane stabilized and I got the engine started again, and felt much better to have the second one and have it working. And then I come back in the third time, same thing happened, but just before I got to decision height, the ice broke off my windshield and I could see the runway. See, God always makes a way for you. He always makes a way for you. The people built the wall because they had the heart. They had the courage. They had the faith. They had the confidence. They caught the vision that Nehemiah came in with to build the walls again. And see, again, you may not be the one that is supposed to go into the highways and in the hedges, but you're a part of that one way or another. Amen. And I'm serious. Last Wednesday night when I was here and was talking about when the numbers are given, there should be celebration so much that even when visitors are in the house, that they should see that you're serious about what you're doing It's not some man up making an announcement. See, it's not just an announcement, Charlie. We're talking about changing the life of individuals from darkness to light, from hell to heaven, changing their destination. Nehemiah changed the lives of many people because he decided that he was going to stand in the gap in a difficult place. He was going to stand in a difficult place. See, anytime you attempt to walk by faith and do something for God, Satan's going to oppose you and he's going to try to stop you. And that's why it's important for all of us to stay focused on the Word of God when we get up in the morning. You know, somebody said to me the other day, well, you know, life is filled with a lot of disappointments. Well, I'd have to say that's a good statement, not a good one, but a true statement. How many is there, and we're not going to give any bad thing, but how many's ever had a disappointment in life? You that didn't raise your hands, help me out. Take me home with you tonight. And talk to me all night long because you've got so much good to tell me. I want to know what it is that you didn't ever have a disappointment in life. But you know, when I think about that, of how, why do we have disappointments in life? Because Satan doesn't like us. He doesn't like us, and he doesn't like it especially when you're built on the Word and when you're walking in faith. So how you handle your disappointments, how you handle your disappointments is very important. You can let the disappointment handle you, or you can handle the disappointment. Do you think that Nehemiah didn't have disappointing things happen when he went to build the walls around Jerusalem? He had lots of disappointments, but the disappointments never controlled him because he was focusing on finishing the task that God called him to do. See, anytime you step out, you know, just like tithing. Just like tithing. My wife and I learned to tithe when we were just kids. She was 17 and I was 19. And we promised God that we'd always love God, we'd always love each other, we'd always be a tither and a giver. We never broke that covenant. And just quite confidentially here a little bit, you don't have to tell anybody I told you. When Pastor Bob told us to be thankful, I just said, thank you, Lord, for a wife that loves me. Amen. 51 years. Hallelujah. She's never kicked me out of the bed once. She's never said, you can't come in the house. She's never said, I don't want you in this house. 51 years. 51 years. So that was one of the things, just personally, I was thanking God about. I'll let you in a little bit. But we made a covenant with each other, and we made a covenant with God that was always going to tithe. There's a lot of times I had to make a decision when I looked at the checkbook. Would I tithe or would I do something different? Lots of times. Well, I'm sure you have those same decisions to make too. But see, we made a decision when I was 19 and she was 17. So we were going to keep that decision no matter what, that we're going to tithe. You know, it's amazing how many people don't understand tithing. See, remember, the person that goes into the military has to go through boot camp. See, a lot of people never gone through boot camp. Tithing is a part of boot camp. That's a part of serving God. Now, why are y'all not shouting me down here? What is it that I'm saying that's causing you to get quiet? See, when you look at the outgo and you look at the income, and then you say, we got tithe this week. Sometimes your flesh or the devil, God understands, just pass it up this week. See, that's where faith comes in. That's where you act on the word. See, that's when you acknowledge the good things that's on the inside of you. Like Peter, Peter defied the laws of gravity and he walked on the word come. Well, you and I, whenever we're in that position and the outgo is more than the income, that's when you walk on the word and you tithe anyway. Amen? That I thought you were talking about winning souls. I am. See, it's all a part of the package. See, I like to give you a nugget and tell you that God will prosper you in ways that you would never even dream that he would prosper you when you don't eat the tithe. The Bible says that tithe is holy. Everybody say tithe is holy. And we said, well, that's in the Old Testament. There's a lot of stuff in the Old Testament. Thou shalt not kill is in the Old Testament. Thou shalt not commit adultery is in the Old Testament. Thou shalt not steal is in the Old Testament. I mean, I could go on. But how come we want to take a few things and remove it because it was an Old Testament? Jesus had plenty of opportunities. And when he was telling them in Matthew 23 and 23, and he said, you know, you tithe, but there's some other things you're not doing. But then he went on in that verse and he said, keep on tithing. So he had a perfect place right there, if it was not the will of God to keep on tithing in the New Testament, to say, you don't have to tithe anymore. See, you don't have to do anything. See, if you have to tithe, then you're not tithing. If you think you have to tithe, you're not tithing. See, tithing is not a have to. Tithing is God's, and you want God to have what is his. Well, you know, some of you, most of you probably heard my story of when, you know, we had our property, and one day I got a call and said it didn't belong to me. And we went through the process of courts and so forth. And so we lost our property technically. I never confessed it with my mouth. I never read the paper. Now my phone's not ringing. It's just telling me my time was up. Okay. Technically, we lost the property. But spiritually, we never lost the property. See, what is going on in your life that technically it's over, it's done. But in the Word of God, it's not done. 67 people, there were 67 of us that a man cheated us out of our money and our properties. And our government let him get by with it, and he went scot-free. But Sharon and Don Clowers didn't let that man go scot-free. We didn't try to put him in jail or none of those things. I didn't call him up and curse him and pray that he died and didn't do all of those things. I just said, God, I'm a tither. I'm a tither. I'm a giver. And I did have an attorney friend. And my attorney friend did everything he could do, and there was nothing. He just said, there's nothing, 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 nothing. And finally, we got a thing from the judge, federal judge, that said this property no longer belongs to Don and Sharon Clowers, but it belongs to the bank. Well, I read that. I understood it mentally. I did, but I never read with my voice to hear myself read what was on the paper. I want to tell you something tonight. God is speaking to somebody. I remember you had a meeting here, Pastor Bob, and you said, "Don't quit." We had a conference, and he titled it, "Don't Quit." I still got them little things, "Don't Quit." I was looking for mine tonight, and I didn't know exactly where I put it. You know, I've got them. It'll turn up, but I carry them all the time. "Don't Quit." Well, my wife and I, you know, when my accountant says, "Let's write it off and you'll get some income tax back," I said, "I'm not going to write anything off because I hadn't lost anything." See, how many times do you give up before the victory's won? You know, I believe heaven is filled with all kinds of gifts and presents, just stored up everywhere. And it's got up, all of them up there is just put returned. The angel just goes around with the rubber stamp, return. Because just because it's just about to be delivered, you just start saying something different than what you prayed. Well, my wife and I, and we never said it. My attorney would say it, but I'd always correct him. He was a Jew, and he finally got to the place he learned not to say we lost the property. He would just say technical things that wouldn't say it, you know. Because I'd say, "Harry, we hadn't lost nothing. That's our property." One time he said, no, Don, it belongs to the bank. I said, "No, it doesn't. It belongs to God. It's mine." Well, 4 years and something passed. And one day, I'm not going to go through the story because I've told it here before. I just wanted to tell you. Well, anyway, our attorney had filed a motion in the Supreme Court, in the Tennessee Supreme Court. And when he filed the motion, he called me up and told me, I said, "Well, what does that mean?" He said, "Nothing." I said, "Well, what are you doing it for?" He said, "Well, you told me to think and read the law books and you would pray." So he said, "I'm thinking and reading, so you are supposed to be praying." I said, "I am." He said, "Well, I filed a motion." Well, he filed the motion and the bank's attorney didn't show up. So he called me and told me, he said, "Don, the bank's attorney didn't show up." I said, "Well, what's that mean?" He said, "Nothing." I said, "Okay." He said, "We'll give them 30 days and we'll do it again." 30 days passed and we did it again. The bank's attorney didn't show up. He forgot. But each time, I wasn't even aware of it. Each time the bank's name was being in the paper as they were being sued by Don and Sharon Clowers. And I didn't even know that. My attorney never told me. I didn't know. He was just doing it for gratis for me, you know. But the bank president one day called my attorney and all of the staff and everybody in, and he said, "Who are these Clowers people and who do they think they are?" Yeah. My attorney spoke up and he said, "They're tithers." The president of the bank said, "They're what?" He said, "They're tithers." He said, "Well, what is that?" Harry, being a Jew, he explained it very well. And you know what the bank president said? He said, "I don't care who they are. Give them their property back." And they fired their attorney. We got our property back and the attorney got fired. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. Now, one thing I left out that I want to say, this happened during the old building when this all happened. And one Sunday morning, you had Bob Seymour here from Canada. And Bob Seymour was preaching on first fruits. How many has heard Bob Seymour preach on first fruits? See, this house has been good to a lot of us. 13 amens. This house has been good to a lot of us. This house has been good to a lot of us. So my wife and I, on a Sunday morning, we were sitting in the building. Bob Seymour was preaching about first fruits. And boy, something just went off in me like a fire that I was supposed to do a first fruits offering for our land to come back. And so I looked at my wife, and she knew that look. Once I looked at her, she knew that's give. That's a give look. And so I said, we're supposed to give in this offering this morning to get our property back, to not get it back, but whatever words I used, because I never admitted that we lost it. She looked at me and she said, I know that. I said, well, you write on a piece of paper what you think God wants us to do, and I'll do it, and let's get our hearts together. So we both had the same number. Isn't that something? So we wrote the check and put it in. We wrote the description of the property on the check. And then that's when it was just a few months later when our attorney called and he said, I got good news for you. I said, we got our property back, right? In our name. And the same property today, I still hold it. The title, I have the document that says, this property no longer belongs to Don and Sharon Clowers, but it belongs to X Bank, so-and-so. And now I got the other deed that says, this property now belongs to Don and Sharon Clowers. Now, church, I want to tell you something. Have a heart for God. They finished the wall. They finished the building of the wall because the people had a heart. They had the courage. Calvary, you know, Pastor Bob been here almost 50 years now. Him and Joy, they've been here almost 50 years plowing and plowing and reaping and sowing and reaping and plowing and sowing And you know, I was talking about the Bible school a few minutes ago when you guys were out. You know, I'm telling you, this is an awesome thing to be a part of the Bible school. Amen. I appreciate y'all doing this Bible school. Amen. The prayer, everything that goes on is so important. Everything, the prayer, the ushers, the greeters. Everything that goes on in this house is important. Never, never tire of doing something good. And the next soul winning opportunity that you have, if you've never done it before, ask God to give you boldness. Ask God to give you boldness and courage to witness to somebody and tell them about the goodness of God. Give your testimony everywhere you go, every opportunity you have. Tell them, why do I tell about the land that I just told you about? Why do I tell that story sometimes again and again? Because it encourages me to keep my faith on my present situations. See, we actually, we built a building over almost $7 million. Well, I wound up giving it to another church. So that church has got couple of million or more that we've got invested in there. We don't have that building now, it's theirs, but you know what? It's not over, folks. It's not over. Somebody say, don't feel sorry for me. See, don't look at me and say, well, I don't understand. No, don't feel sorry for me. We've got an investment in the kingdom of God. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Do you know what? I'm expecting any day for something to open up, for somebody to come to me with good news, somebody to tell me something. We've been holding this piece of property, this land, this building, and it's yours now. You say, well, that's false hope. Well, you call it whatever you want to call it. My hope is in Jesus. My hope is in the Word. I'm standing on the Word. I'm acting on the Word. I'm not acting on what somebody's saying. You know, I got a friend up in Toronto, and he was getting ready to build a building. And you know, they was getting ready to get their loan and everything, and it was going to be several million dollars. He said, the Lord said, don't do that. I go and preach for him often. Don't do that. And he told me this story the last time I was up there. Or both times I was there, he told me the story. Three times I've been there, he told me. Four times I've been there, he told me the story. Five times I've been there, he tells me the story. I like to hear it because I'll tell him, tell me the story. You say, you already know it. You know, sometimes people start to give you a good report and you say, yeah, I know, you already told me. Let them tell it. Let them tell it. Don't say, I know it. You know, I got two little grandkids, and I'll say, do so. I know. They're always, I know. Cute little grandkids. Too many times we're like the grandkids. I know it. Well, if we know it, why aren't we doing it? But I'll go up there, and I'll say, tell me the story. He said, well, I started to build the building, going to build the money, and we had it all lined out, and the Lord said, don't do it. So I didn't. He said, and I waited. Said, I started again. We went back to the bank and we got everything ready and was going to borrow the money. And all at once, that voice again said, don't do it. He said, nothing happened. So I waited a few months and here we go again. I got all of our men together. We got together. Here we're going to go do it the third time. The Lord said, I said, don't do it. He said, I knew this time I better not do it. He said, but this had been like 2 years now that we was just waiting. He said, but I got a call from an organization. And so we've built a beautiful building. And it's just not working for us. We don't want to sell it. But we'd like to not necessarily just give it to you, but give you total right of the building for 50 years. I mean, it's modern technology. It's got all the goodies, and it's got everything in it, and it's several million-dollar building that they don't have to pay payments. They don't have to pay rent. They don't have to pay anything, and they don't have the organization's not done one thing or ask them for one thing. They can rent it out. They can do anything they want to, and it does produce them some income sometimes. Plus, they got a growing church that's just blowing the windows out, and God is supplying their needs. And he said, we don't have any payments, and we're able to do all kinds of things in outreach. We're able to do all kinds of things because we don't have overhead of a building. Now, don't tell me that, see, when I start talking about faith and people start looking at their problem, I talked about this last Wednesday night, and people start looking at their problem, they start comparing, but you can't compare. I look at this pastor, and I walk in that church, and I preach there, and again, I'll tell him, a lot of times he'll say, would you go out with me tonight to have something after service, and I'll go with him. I said, only if you'll tell me the story. He said, I already told you. I said, tell me again. And sometimes he finishes, and I said, well, you start at the beginning. You say, are you serious? Folks, it's time we realize that God is God and that he does good things for us. And he does good things for us all the time. And one of the things that's going to happen, the more you do for him, the more he's going to do for you. The more seeds you sow, the greater the harvest you have. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Don't give up. Don't give up. This Sunday, you know, I don't know what y'all did when Charlie made the announcement this Sunday of how many people went out. And I don't know what y'all did when he told me how many people had prayed the prayer. But you know what? When I heard you start talking about that tonight, something just started leaping on the inside of me. You know, I think of Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Oh, I feel that bench anointing getting on me. I feel that bench anointing getting on me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath that bench anointing, Charlie, is just getting on me to get in that bench. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to open the eyes of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Let me read this and then I'll bring this to a close.
My God.
Oh, God is so good. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are oppressed. That word anointed there means to furnish what is needed. God will furnish what's needed. It is to smear or rub with oil. It's an endowment. It's an unction. It's a gift. So tonight, if you'll focus on something besides your need and focus on doing the will of God, God will meet your need. See, when they told us we lost our property, instead of me crying and feeling sorry for myself, because this was a lot of money, actually all of our money, every bit of money we had, it was invested in this piece of land. I'm talking personal now, not ministry. And when this man deceived us and took our money, and 66 people lost everything, but Don and Sharon Clowers didn't lose. Was I any better than the rest of them? No. But when that time came, every week or every 2 weeks for tithe, I never said we can't afford it. We always tithe. When offering time came, see, you can't give until you tithe. See, when you're 10%, you're not giving anything because that's God's. That's God's. The 10% is God's, so you're not giving anything. You're just letting God have back what is his. And then you give when you give out of the 90%. And so my wife and I, we had always been tithers, and we had been givers. And when we were here that Sunday morning, and Bob Seymour preached about that first fruits, and we did that, we did it in faith. In the ministry here, let it go for the winning the lost, meeting the needs of the ministry. We're sowing into the ministry, and when we sow into the ministry, God's going to move for us. It was impossible for us to get our property back, and 66 people didn't get theirs back, and Don and Sharon Clowers got theirs back. Tell me why. We walked on the word. We didn't walk on what the men said. Now, folks, there's something happening at Calvary Cathedral, and you're a part of Calvary Cathedral. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, and he has anointed you to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent you to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to set the captive free. I just see an overflowing. I just see a gathering of a large family coming together. I see it's like a reunion. I see people coming in from the east, the west, the north, and the south. When I drove by the school tonight on my way in, I just said, God, prosper the school. Bless the school. Bless the kids that's coming to school there. Bless the teachers. Something's happening in the school. Something's happening in the school. Folks, something's happening in the realm of the spirit. See, remember, anytime you start out to do something for God, anytime you set your face to do something for the Lord, Satan doesn't like it. Satan didn't like it when Nehemiah went down to build the walls back around Jerusalem and Sanballat got all upset, but nothing Sanballat could do could sway Nehemiah. It never got his attention. He never got distracted. He kept building the wall. He kept encouraging the people. They kept the work up, and as they kept the work up, the Bible says in the fourth chapter in the sixth verse, so we finished the wall. They finished the wall because they stayed focused. I'm telling you, folks, something's going on in the spirit. Something's going on in the Holy Ghost that Satan is getting nervous of what's happening at Calvary Cathedral. When you stand and begin to shout of the good reports of the souls that's hearing the name of Jesus, that's confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, Satan is getting nervous. There's healings and miracles, and there's the delivers. There's financial breakthrough for you. There is financial breakthrough for you as you stand up and declare the goodness of God. What is it? The darkest hours, the darkest moments right before dawn? Well, some of you, you may be feeling like you're in your darkest moment. Well, I'm telling you, you're a part of something big. You're a part of breaking barriers. You're a part of moving the limitations. You're a part of opening the windows of heaven. So something good is on the horizon for you. Everybody say something good. Something good. Come on, everybody stand up and begin to shout something good. Stand up and shout something good. Everybody get out of your seat and come running down here to the front and shout something good. Come on, run down to the front. Something good. Something good. Charlie, I don't want to overdo this thing, but come up here just for a moment. Everybody come on down just real quickly. I don't want to overdo this and make light or make fun. But come on over here with me, Charlie. How many people prayed the prayer of salvation Saturday?
Over 1,000 people prayed the prayer of salvation on Saturday.
Now, I know you heard Charlie of what he just said. We all heard him. But I want us to think about how many people's in this room tonight. I don't know. I'm not going to count. But 1,000 people is more than it's in this room that heard the good news of Jesus and prayed the prayer of salvation. Because of the vision that's in this house, somebody took it upon themselves to be a Nehemiah. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. You just can't do something this good and nothing happen good in its place for you. So I want you to start thinking about the good that is being done on the outside. And if this much good is being done on the outside, what's happening on the inside? See, if you're good on the inside, the outside is going to show it. Amen. If you're happy, you'll notify your face. Is that right? So I want us to just meditate on something good right now. There's nothing any better, nothing any greater than a lost person being found. Nothing in the kingdom of God is any greater. I'm glad for healings, signs, wonders, and miracles. But there's nothing any greater than the lost coming to Christ. So because we're doing something good, and I'm going to say we because this is my church too. One day I'm going to just get in my car and come over here and go out with everybody. But I want you to just meditate on the good that's being done. And because you're doing good, the Bible said, he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. Now, I'm not closing the same way we did last Wednesday, but it's okay. Something good. Everybody say something good is happening. See, we're doing something good. I know I'm being repetitious here, but there's things that bears repeating. Something good is being done, so that means something good is going to happen. Everybody say, something good is being done, so something good is going to happen. Whatever you sow, that's what you reap. You're reaping from what you sow. I reap from what I sow. I reap from what I sow. I'm sowing good, so I have to reap good. So instead of going home and carrying worry, fret about the things that you have not yet seen, go home and begin to rejoice that you're a part of something good. I'm a part of something good. I'm helping change my city, my state, the United States of America. See, I talked about last week when I go into another nation, even though I'm one person, I don't feel like I'm just going in there to preach, especially when I go do one of these conferences. But when I go into a nation, I just believe I'm there to change the nation. I don't ever go in there and just think, well, I'm just going to preach a message to who's here. I do. But I'm leaving something with those people that it's going to multiply and multiply and multiply. So something's happening in Calvary. Who is Calvary? Not this building. You're Calvary. Something's happening on the inside of you. So quit talking about what you need and start talking about what you have. I'm going to close. Everybody gets three closes that preaches here, I think. So, but I'm going to close with this thought. Go home and start just thanking God that you're a part of something good. I'm 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 sowing good seed. Our church is sowing good seed. Everywhere you go, just start sowing seed. Everywhere you go, just start ministering the word of God. And all at once, you'll look around and somebody will be doing something for you. Something will happen. A miracle will take place. Is anybody in this room tonight? Is anybody in this room tonight? Whew. Something is brewing. I just feel it. Something is brewing. Something is brewing. Do you feel it? Do you feel it? You know, sometimes it's just. You know, one time when I lived out in out of town, and we had to dig a well. And these guys that would drill in the well, I'd be there, and I'd go out there, and it was going through rock. And they just said, "We're going." I said, "Just keep going." He said, "But Pastor, this is just nothing but rock." I said, "I don't know, but I feel like you're in the right spot. Just keep on going. Just keep on going." And they drilled and they drilled and they drilled. And he said, "Man, this is tough rock." I said, "There's something good under that rock." He said, "Well, how deep is the rock?" I said, "I don't know. Just keep going." I said, "Something's going to happen." Well, you know what? It wasn't but an hour or so that last time I went out there, they went through that rock, and when they did, that well started. It wasn't oil, but it was water, and it started spurting up, and there was so much force on that well, I hardly even needed a pump. But I kept telling them, just keep on. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And when it did, I mean, and it was the best water. I'm telling you, it was the best water. Well, I can just taste it right now. And you, something good is happening. Something good is